Welcome to episode 230 of the G2 on 5G. It's the latest inside scoop on everything 5G. We cover six topics in about 20 minutes, and it's brought to you by More Insights and Strategy. I'm Will Townsend, and joining me again this week is fellow analyst Anshul Sag. Let's get started with my first topic. It's a gratuitous plug for something that I did this week, but I had an opportunity to speak with AT&T's network CTO, Igal Abez. I've known Igal for almost 10 years now. And we spoke in support of the TM Forum. So the TM Forum held its Ignite conference in Copenhagen about a week ago. And Igal and I sat down for a fireside chat to talk about autonomous networks. Mm-hmm. If you're interested, you can hit my social media channels to actually watch the video. But the TM Forum is focused on three objectives. One, enabling autonomous networks. Also, driving composable IT infrastructure and ecosystems. And also AI and data. And so from my perspective, what we focused on was AT&T's contributions to the TM Forum. So the TM Forum has working groups that are focused on this. And they use the analogy that's similar to autonomous vehicles and autonomous cars. So various levels of autonomy. Igal and I talked about AT&T's contributions, what the TM Forum is doing to drive standardization around this. And Igal and I also talked about, within his organization, what they're doing with generative and agentic AI to provide automation to the network layer. Because ultimately, I believe the power of agentic AI is in its ability to facilitate automation on a very wide scale. So this is late breaking. The video actually just dropped today. But again, I encourage our viewers and listeners to go take a look at that. Anshul, you and I have talked about AT&T. They have been focused on programmability. They're partnered with Ericsson to do that. They're exposing APIs. They're doing a lot of different things. What do you think about the promise of autonomous networks? Are we actually going to see it within the next couple of years?
I think it's an evolution of AT&T was leading the charge with software-defined networks, and I was curious about where they were going to go with it.
Yeah.
And I also think that autonomous networks are going to be necessary for 6G. So I think we're in a place where we want people to explore these concepts and develop them early, because once the capabilities are there and the sensing, I think there's going to be a lot of opportunities to leverage these autonomous networks to preemptively build in capabilities as the network evolves. Because the thing is, the networks are going to have to be constantly changing and adapting, mm-hmm. and that complexity will only increase with 6G and AI.
No, I totally agree. And we've talked about Nokia on prior podcasts as well. They have an autonomous networks platform. So this isn't specific to Ericsson or the TM Forum. But from my perspective, organizations like the TM Forum are critical in bringing ecosystems together to drive innovation and faster time to market and that sort of thing. We'll keep it brief on that topic, but again, I encourage our viewers and listeners to go hit my social media channels if you want to learn more about that. But let's go to your first topic, and you want to talk about the big, beautiful bill. And there's a lot in it. I recently did some research, and it's the sunsetting of EV credits, and there are a lot of other aspects to it. But for the purposes of our podcast, you want to talk about what it might mean for the future of 5G and 6G?
Yes. First of all, the FCC finally gets their spectrum auction authority back, which is something that has long been not done and overlooked for some reason. There is, in the version that passed today, because this is the final reconciliation bill from the Senate back to the House, because the House sends it up to the Senate, then the Senate has their own version, then they reconcile, and then they send it back down to the House. The reconciled version, which was going to go to Trump, once Trump signs it, it's law, which I think he most likely will. I don't really see there being anything that he really balks at. I think that there's some interesting things about spectrum. So there was a lot of talk that they might find, because they were talking about 800 megahertz of spectrum here in the bill that I'm reading at congress.gov in the 4000 section, which is where all this science, technology, and transportation stuff is. The big things that are being mentioned are there's 500 megahertz and 300 megahertz of spectrum, which totals 800. It's very nebulous about where the spectrum will come from. So that's not very clear yet, but there are minimums that a minimum of 200 megahertz needs to be found after 2 years, and then more spectrum needs to be found after 4 years. Additionally, there's also provisions to kill the remaining funding from the CHIPS Act. There was $850 million for semiconductor supply chains for specific 5G, 6G technologies. That $850 million is being rescinded because if it was not allocated, it's being rescinded. And then there's some other things that are going to be relevant in terms of like energy. There's going to be a lot of challenges, I believe, long-term with some of these green energy things that are being rescinded, specifically around nuclear energy. There were some nuclear energy credits that are going to be rescinded, which I think is a mistake because so much of AI is going to be dependent on power and going backwards in terms of energy consumption, because the truth is that a lot of the green stuff has been good for business. And I think the nuclear stuff especially, I think there are some definitely challenges that are going to happen down the road with power. But other than that, the big ones are really that they get their authority back and that there's spectrum. There was some talk about Open RAN as well, but I don't see any of that in the bill. So I'm not going to comment on that, but there was definitely some talk that Open RAN might lose its grants because it's not relevant to the current administration. But I don't see anything in the bill. I looked for RAN and Open RAN and all kinds of stuff in the bill. I didn't see it. It's a very long bill. It's HR 1, which is technically the first bill for the House. It is many pages. Control F is a powerful tool and is the official text. So I'm going by that.
Yeah. I haven't dove into it obviously as deeply as you have. I'm really surprised that Open RAN isn't a priority for Trump's second administration, just given all of the focus, like when he was in office in his first term, around domesticating the telecom supply chain, the rip and replace of Huawei out of rural America. So I find that really surprising that that's not in it. But this is a monster bill, to your point. It includes everything but the kitchen sink. It's no exaggeration that it's big.
It cuts to Medicaid too.
Yeah. But that's interesting. It will be interesting to see once it's signed. You and I should drill through it again and determine what the implications are for telecommunications in general. But hey, I'm going to continue that same theme with my second topic, and I want to talk about Orange and Samsung, and they're teaming up for virtualized RAN deployment in France. And vRAN and Open RAN deployments continue over in Europe. Vodafone is embracing Open RAN quite a bit, a lot of proof of concepts. We're beginning to see some actual commercial deployments of it, but I found this interesting. So at a high level, and the city is unnamed, but it's somewhere in Southwest France. There was an article on Light Reading that basically highlighted the fact that both companies are completing the first 4G and 5G calls on a pilot Orange network that ran on Samsung's vRAN technology. Triple band radios, the spectrum profile is 3.5 gigahertz. They're using massive MIMO technology, no surprise. And from my perspective, again, Samsung is a leader in virtualized RAN. Now, that, you know, the RAN market, you and I have talked about this on several podcasts. That was the first out of the gate with these non-standalone deployments and then core to follow to get to standalone. So the RAN market is stalled. Certainly, all of the RAN solution providers, Nokia, Ericsson, and Samsung Networks, have experienced dips in that category. Huawei, it's hard to understand what's real and what's not for obvious reasons there. But hey, virtualized RAN, it's a highly efficient, it is a CapEx light approach to deployment. And especially when you look at the European market, where there's a lot of RAN sharing that goes on, we don't have that in the United States. It's an opportunity, I believe, for mobile network operators that want to have some level of independence when it comes to their RAN infrastructure, to lean into things like vRAN. I don't know if you caught the news, but any further thoughts?
No, I didn't catch the news, but I also don't have that many thoughts. I think in general, Europe is a very different market.
It is.
And it's good to see Samsung having some success there because they've had a lot of success in the US. And it's great to see that they're replicating some of that in Europe.
Yeah, no, I agree. Hey, let's go to your second topic. And you want to talk about AT&T and our POTUS recently criticized AT&T for a bad conference call, but AT&T responded. So you want to share your insights?
Yeah. So I very much did not participate in this conference call. I don't know what happened, but I think it was like a faith leaders conference call, and he was saying that AT&T was the reason why the conference call didn't work and there were technical issues. But AT&T responded saying that their network wasn't the problem, and that, and he said that he's the boss of that, the, that if the boss of AT&T could get involved, it would be good because there's tens of thousands of people on the line. But it's very unclear whether AT&T was actually the reason why the call didn't work, or that why they had to reschedule the call, or that while they may have to reschedule the call, and that maybe we'll use a different carrier next time. But AT&T said that it wasn't really their technology that was a problem. So it's very unclear what was behind that. But I think it's always a challenge when you have tens of thousands of people on any call, whether it's Zoom or AT&T or anything. Those are always a challenge. And maybe there should be a platform for those kinds of things. But yeah, it was really interesting to see AT&T responding and the Trump calling them out specifically.
It's mind-blowing the level of knowledge that our elected leadership has. Networks peer, you have ingress and egress over the internet, private networks, public networks. And so it's very difficult to assign blame. Now, there are lots of monitoring tools. Like Cisco's ThousandEyes has an internet outage map. In fact, if our viewers and listeners want to go hit it, just use the Googles and Google ThousandEyes. And it's very informative and it shows you the performance of the internet, basically. But yeah, it's just another example. When I recall, the Facebook hearings when Mark Zuckerberg was on Capitol Hill and some of the questions that came from our elected officials, it just blows your mind. It's okay, these are the folks that are actually putting bills together and voting on bills and that sort of thing. So yeah, someone needs to educate the POTUS on how all that plumbing and all that connectivity works. But hey, with that, I'm going to go hit my third and final topic, and I want to talk about LG. And I found this to be a pretty interesting use case. So they're leaning into private 5G for a facility in Tennessee that is the basis for their home appliance manufacturing. And I found this really incredible. So this is in a town that's about an hour north of Nashville near the Kentucky border on a road called Life's Good Way. So if you know anything, LG stands for Lucky Gold Star. And so there's a connection there and they've named the street this. But what's amazing is that this facility can produce a washing machine every 13 seconds. Like, how can they do that? How do you think they can do that, man? It's magic, right?
you want to know something interesting?
What?
I was supposed to go to that facility.
Were you?
I was invited because I almost went because I was really excited about the private 5G aspect of this factory.
Yeah.
Less the fact that it's washers and dryers, but that it's a very highly technical factory, but also utilizing private 5G. Unfortunately, I've just had so much travel in the last month that I just couldn't do it because it was the 1 week I was home for the month. Yeah. And I wasn't going to try and go to Tennessee for that. But yeah, I was actually invited by LG to go, and I would have loved to make that a topic of my own. But because I didn't go, I didn't really lean into it. But yeah, it's cool. There, more and more companies are leveraging private 5G for manufacturing. Yeah. A lot of it's to give the AGVs and other tools and equipment access to the internet so they can do AI on site locally and also pipe in new models and things like that. And what I've noticed is a lot of these companies that are doing it are Korean. So we're seeing Hyundai do it in Georgia. We're seeing LG doing it in Tennessee. I'm sure Samsung is using private 5G in their own installations in Korea. I think the Koreans are definitely more forward thinking in a lot of ways. And I think a lot of companies could be learning lessons from them. But that's my input from this, other than the fact that I probably should have been there and would have had cool insights if I was there.
I'm gonna try to get that rescheduled for you and I. But you know, what's really interesting is I read through this light reading article, another light reading article. They deployed that private 5G network a couple of years ago. And because they found that their 250 access points weren't providing the deterministic connectivity that's needed for many of those use cases that you were just mentioning, like AGVs and automated pools, and even the sort of the back end sort of transportation and logistics aspect. And at the end of the day, typically what I like to say, Wi-Fi and 5G are better together. But when it comes to very deterministic use cases like robotics, like AGVs, where there's no margin for error, or computer vision used to inspect the final assembly and that sort of thing, this is where 5G really shines. And I love this use case. And, you know, that's funny that I had no idea that you had been invited by LG to do that. But I'll also mention before I wrap up, if you remember, this was like 4 or 5 years ago. Remember when you and I and Patrick Moorhead, our fearless leader, we published a series of articles about the promise of 5G? And I do recall that manufacturing automation played an important role in some of the use cases. And more importantly, when I looked at the carrier set around the world, and we were calling first, second, and third place winners, if you remember, I called Korea as a leader, right? They were very early in to not only deploying 5G, and it may not have been standalone initially in 2019 and 2020, but they were certainly very focused on very discrete use cases that demonstrated the power of the low latency, the consistent throughput, the encrypted aspects of that as well, and just overall the more deterministic capability that 5G delivers over Wi-Fi. So with that, my friend, let's go to your third and final topic. And I had caught this news as well. T-Mobile just recently completed a pretty substantial expansion in Florida, and you want to talk about that.
Yeah, it's a big deal. $2 billion in one state.
Yeah.
And basically, it's a realization that Florida is a big opportunity for T-Mobile, but also lots of people visit Florida from across the country. So it's important for them to have good coverage there. They invested $2 billion, which will now improve coverage for 22 million Floridians and support emergency response systems, smart city initiatives, but also the project involved 1,282 new or retained sites from the merger with Sprint, around 1,350 sites upgraded across the state, and hardening 1,375 states to improve emergency response and disaster recovery, which in Florida is a big deal. Another interesting stat is that average statewide 5G download speeds are now 266 megabytes per second, which is a 216 increase since 2021. And nearly 100% of Floridians are now covered by T-Mobile 5G network, the company claims. And yeah, they're definitely improving the network experience, and it can translate to better customer outcomes and also better profits and user experiences for its consumer and enterprise customers. Looking at the new coverage map, it looks like a lot of ultra capacity along the coasts, and then a ton of it near Orlando. And if you look at it, like, most of the state is actually ultra capacity now compared to what it used to be, where it was just along the water. Now, I would say, just looking at it, it's 80% ultra capacity, and then very little extended range LTE, and a few satellite spots. So they're incorporating satellite. The Everglades looks like it's satellite in some parts near Tallahassee. But for the most part, the state's pretty much deep purple with a few hints of magenta, which is lower frequency stuff. And they're already doing private networks deployments in Miller Electric. They're doing some ANS stuff for autonomous bus-shaped shuttles. There's all kinds of things that they're doing to advance technology for the state. And I think I don't have any plans of going to Florida anytime soon. I know you have a place there, so you'll probably benefit from this. But yeah, it's great. I would love to see more of this, but $2 billion is a lot to invest in just one state.
It really is. And when you think about Florida, you think about the tourism industry there, you think about Orlando, where you've got Disney World, and the ability to use a very highly performant 5G network to do things like autonomous shuttle sort of navigation. I've seen that demonstration at Peachtree Corners in Georgia, where T-Mobile has a proof of concept lab called the Curiosity Lab. But yeah, and then if you just look at also the enterprise applications, you have the Port of Miami as well. It's a big port. And as you and I know, 5G has been a poster child use case for port operations and that sort of thing. I would like to see more coverage in the Florida Keys, where I live in Isla Mirada. I think there's a lot of opportunity down there as well. I'll be fishing with my brother and his two sons later this month. And not that you necessarily need connectivity when you're out in the ocean, because you're focused on catching fish. But I will tell you, I use an app that requires connectivity to identify fish, to make sure that whatever you're about to land in the boat is not going to kill you or sting you or be endangered or that sort of thing. So I think there would be an opportunity for improving connectivity. And that's where maybe T-Mobile's partnership with Starlink can come into play. But I love that, man. My second home. Can't wait to be there in a few weeks. I know you're in Sonoma this week. Any travel coming up for you after that? You're going to be with Samsung, yes. Right?
Yeah. I will be at Samsung Galaxy Unpacked on nice. Wednesday when it's announced. I'll probably be traveling that Thursday. I'm not sure I'll be able to make it to do the podcast that day, but maybe on Friday. Yep. We'll see. I'm going to probably be driving back down to San Diego on Saturday. That's the situation, but I'll have all the news for the next podcast around all the upcoming Galaxy foldables.
Cool. I know our viewers and listeners will be interested in that. I don't have any business travel for the month of July. Like I mentioned, going to go fishing with my brother, and his kids. And
enjoy.
Yeah, and then just take some needed time off. But hey, my friend, it's been another great podcast. Before we end it, though, let's wish our viewers and listeners a very happy 4th of July. We're getting a lot of rain in Bastrop, Texas today. I'm hoping that rain breaks for tomorrow. Why don't you take us home, Anshul?
Absolutely. We hope our viewers and listeners found this week's topics interesting. If anyone would like to provide insights for a specific 5G topic for a future podcast, please reach out to us on social media. Will is at Willtown Tech and I'm at Anshul Sag. We hope you have a great 4th of July weekend, and don't forget to rate and subscribe.